the OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Alan Quinlan, good morning to you. How are you getting on?
Morning, lads. How are you?
I tweeted at the weekend after the Racing game that Dunnacha Ryan is the best second row in Ireland, and I stand by it. A lot of people are coming at me about James Ryan. But right now, today, if I had to pick a team to win whatever match for my life, I'm picking Dunnacha Ryan in my team.
Yeah, he was. He's very little rugby played this year. He's had a good few injuries and stuff like that. But, you know, I played with Dunnacha for a number of years in Munster, and he's just epitomises everything you want in a sports person: desire, passion, energy, leadership. You know, work rate through the roof, and honesty as well. Because so he's a guy you love playing with. And he's a guy who inspires people around him, because, you know, when you're going into these tight battles and big games, that someone like Dunnacha Ryan will just work his socks off. And he's a very talented player as well. He's 36 now, so he's probably not moving like he was moving a couple of years back, where he was making line breaks and offloading the ball. But he's a very intelligent player who's worked on his skills over the years, and just, it's phenomenal now to see him in a final 12 years after being there with my old team Munster, when he was Dunnacha was on the bench that day. And I think he's been missed by Ireland the last couple of years. There's absolutely no doubt about that. And it's great to see him back in a final. He was very influential on Saturday, even though it was a poor match. It was a poor performance from Racing. They struggled a little bit with Saracens just unsettling them, and at 17 turnovers in the game, Racing. So but he was very good on Saturday.
That point about him, about Ireland missing him, like, I wonder, so he's 47 Ireland caps. Really, he should have 100 Ireland caps, shouldn't he?
I don't know if he should have 100. I don't know the number, but he definitely should have a few more. But he made the decision himself to leave, Ger, so...
But even before that, like, is there a point where we didn't appreciate what we had with somebody like Dunnacha Ryan?
No, I think, look, there was, you know, Paul was there for a number of years. Dev Toner had come on the scene. You know, he didn't play as much. You know, when he was younger, he was mixing between back row, second row at Munster. So he probably should have a few more caps. He wasn't probably, at the start of Joe's era, Joe probably didn't realise what kind of value and just his presence. I mean that respectfully to Joe, like, that sometimes the presence of a forward in particular on a field, their attitude, their body language, and that work rate that I'm talking about is very influential. And Dunnacha was always like that. He was just someone, even in training, I remember doing fitness sessions with him and just him pushing himself to the limit and just working so hard all the time. And it was always, you know, I remember Dunnacha when he was on the Munster under-18 team, and he came to Clanwilliam, my junior club. And I remember I got a phone call saying, would I come in and do a session with them and do a line-out session? And I was around Tipperary at the time, and I went in there, and I just remember Dunnacha, this long, skinny, tall player from Nina, who was just constantly asking me questions, what about this and what can I do here and what do I do now? And I remember just going, geez, this fella is, he just trying to hoover up so much information. I was playing with Munster at the time, and then a couple of years later, he's in the squad and he's with Munster. And so his value is massive, and his presence. And I think that's what I've heard a lot of coming out of Racing. He's so well respected there. So when I talk about a presence, you know, putting a guy in when you're under pressure like that and having him around that environment makes a big difference. So Dunnacha probably should have more caps. He's certainly a player, you know, I have massive respect for, and I love his attitude. And it's great to see him in a final, as I said.
Yeah, I just wonder sometimes if we're a bit easy-ozy, that presence thing you're talking about, that's missing in the Ireland team, isn't it?
And it has been. It is, and it's a bit of an edge, and it's a bit of an attitude, and it's a bit of a body language thing that great players bring, and they just bring a kind of a steely resolve. And I think Dunnacha just kind of developed that over the years. We became a real leader and had this kind of gnarly kind of attitude, that, you know, it's kind of like people ask me, what do I miss most about the you know, playing rugby, it's the dressing room, it's that buzz, it's looking across at guys who you know are just going to knuckle down and they're not daunted or worried or afraid of the task in hand, if you like. And Dunica is that kind of fellow who, you know, it's experience. It comes with experience, Ger, as well, you know. So it's kind of been overcritical maybe on some of the Irish lads, but I always say I want to press. I say it about Ian Henderson a lot. I think he's a wonderful footballer. He's you know, so athletic, but I just love to see him have more of an attitude, be a bit more aggressive, be more confrontational. You know, people would argue that you can't just make someone become a bit more doggish in their approach, but you need it. And particularly against England, and, you know, we've spoken at length about the last couple of matches, the Leinster Saracens, the English-Irish games. It's just that bit of aggressive, on-the-edge stuff that you need, that Itoje is bringing from, that Vunipola is bringing from. Someone like Dunica Ryan stepping into that mix, he's the kind of fellow who would, you know, really stand up and be confrontational. And we need a little bit more of that.
Yeah, and look, this is are you going to get that in the school system in Leinster?
Dan Levy came out of school. He's the most doggish fella I see involved at the moment, you know, that has been injured. James Ryan is incredibly aggressive.
James Ryan's great. But the aggression, so he and Dunica Ryan are different, right? James Ryan is a brilliant technical player, and the aggressiveness that we saw in the England game, I would be all for that. But that was the first time we'd kind of seen that from him.
Yeah, and James is still maturing. Dunica is the kind of fella that he'll fight you. You know, he'll kind of, if it was a street fight, he'll fight you. And I'm not advocating kind of violence or anything, but you just need to be a bit more confrontational. And you know, James will get that more. Levy is someone like, Sean O'Brien had it. You know, I remember playing Sean O'Brien when he was quite young. And, you know, he wasn't going to be intimidated by me as his opposition number six. He was as hard as nails. And I remember him swinging a forearm at me in one of those early games. And I remember thinking, Jesus, this fella he's a hard nut. And it does kind of, it makes you sit back and think that you're not going to just bully this person, because naturally more experienced players try to unsettle younger players and get at them and not really focus on their talent. But how are you going to get into their head? How are you going to physically going to hurt them in rugby? And we do lack a little bit of that. And as you know, the debate goes on, Ger, about the physicality and stuff like this. And maybe we need to evolve a little bit with Ireland. So we don't want to just get all these brutes.
No, but
who can't play rugby. But a little bit of a mix for that.
Yeah.
And I always hated when any team I ever played in or watching any team playing rugby, I hated the opposition bullying them. You know, if you get beaten by playing better rugby, fair enough. And sometimes it can happen where you are a bit dominant in scrums or mauls or whatever. But Dunica Ryan is someone that kind of brings that bit of nasty edge. But look, I think his time is over now, unfortunately, with Ireland, because he's 36. It's probably his last season with Racing. So who knows, you know, but maybe we can develop that a little bit more.
Does the Irish youth strategy need to go beyond whether or not somebody's going to play for Ireland, though, Alan? Like, I mean, he would be invaluable to have around Munster, even if there was a sense that he wasn't going to play for Ireland again, wrongly. To have Dunica Ryan involved in Irish rugby surely can't have been a drawback. Is that where they need to start thinking now, rather than he's going to get 10 caps in the next year?
Yeah, but he decided to leave himself on, as I said, and the whole rule about not picking overseas players, I agree with that, and some people don't agree with it, you know, particularly when you have a World Cup and you think, you know, Simon Zeebo, Dunica Ryan should have been at the World Cup, but
they should.
You know, well, I don't think they should, Ger. From a playing point of view, maybe, but I agree with it, because I think you will have the floodgates will open. And then we were given out about provincial rugby in the last few years, players rotating and the internationals not being picked. A lot of them will go. It's just a reality of it. They'll go to France and they'll play for Ireland as well. And because, you know, believe it or believe it not, most players, I think, would put more stock in playing for their country than over their provinces, because it's a ruthless kind of nature to it. But, you know, Donegal Ryan has been a big loss to Munster in the last few years. There's absolutely no doubt about that, because he's your typical kind of dogged Munster player who is very skillful as well. And you've seen, you look at the semi-final against Clermont, and he's doing little wraparound passes for Dubuchat's try. You know, so he's, it is, some people are split on this own, but, you know, Dunnick is 36 now. I don't think he's going to play on anymore from what I'm hearing. He's going to play out the season. But, you know, him going back to Munster, being involved with Munster in some capacity, it would certainly benefit and help younger players coming through. But there's so many of us who retired in the last kind of 10, 12 years out of that Munster team that won European Cups, that there's a lot of ex-Munster players out there now, and they're not back in the Munster system, if you like.
Is it ludicrous, given the current situation and the scenario we're in, where just last week, when they were talking about this, the IRFU said that given the scenarios that are now on the table, we may at some point in the near future have to revisit the notion of not picking players who play abroad, because the financial scenario is so dire that we may end up having to ship players out so that they can continue being professional. In this situation, if you're Andy Farrell, is the form of Dunnick Ryan so good that you would turn around and say, it's a million quid difference between finishing second and fourth in the Six Nations. Like, can I have these two players that might make us a million quid? Is it so ridiculous that they might?
It's just down to his own decision. I don't think they'll change it now. I think it could change next season, where there is a major financial implication. The French clubs are owned by private owners, millionaires, billionaires, so they'll maybe be able to ride out the storm a little bit better. The French government are bailing out all the clubs, are giving the clubs money there. They probably have more resources to do that than we do here from a government point of view in Ireland. I know there has been grants given to the FAI, the GAA and the RFU, but how long will that last? The RFU are losing massive money, 5 million a month, they say they're paying out in salary, and nothing coming in. So it could be a case where that will change. There was talk that London Irish should become a technically a fifth Irish province, and that...
What a great idea!
Yeah, it would be a good idea. And I think if that was to happen, if there was guys who were interested, you know, this was probably more relevant to fringe players, younger guys who were, you know, look at the Leinster back row situation. If someone moved out of there now and went to England, like Jordy Murphy going to Ulster, you know, he could now go to London Irish as well and still be picked for Ireland. So that would increase the player pool, if you like, to essentially five teams. But I think it possibly will happen in the next year or two that the top players, you know, that there will be a decision made that, you know, they certainly won't be able to be held to ransom. And, you know, they've buckled under it a couple of times in, you know, the last 10 years, where certain players like Keith Earls, for example, was about to go to Saracens and he got an improved offer to stay. You know, we've seen Sean O'Brien, Jamie Heaslip, Dricko in the earlier years. You know, playing this the card, overseas card, which is exactly what I would do as well. And the agents are doing that. And that's just the business of it. But I think now going forward, if that stuff goes on too much, and if there's a huge difference in the salary, if you're getting offered 500 grand to be in France or 300 here, well, it's a massive gap.
Yeah.
And I don't think the RFU are going to be able to do that. But it'd be great for the player, in a sense, from a selfish point of view, if they can still go to France and be picked for Ireland. So, look, it may change, and this debate kind of will rumble on a little bit. But I just think I agree with the decision from the RFU not to pick overseas players, because it keeps them at home. And I just know from a personal point of view, if there was 50 or 100 grand in the difference or play for Ireland, and the possibility of maybe playing less games, being better managed, in the longer term, it's probably, you know, I'd be saying I want to play for Ireland, and that 100 grand,
you'll get it back
extra
at the end.
A year,
yeah,
probably, or you'll play out and I want to play for Ireland, and if I play for Ireland, I'm going to get the match fees and I'm going to make up some of that money anyway.
Yeah, I totally understand that.
Make 30, 40 grand. So, but it's the big difference. It's where, you know, you're getting 500-600 and you're getting 300 here, well, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah,
and you just go.
Can we tease out the London Irish idea? Because we've been talking about this on the show for ages. Are people talking about it again as a possibility?
Probably the coronavirus stuff has halted it a little bit, but I think it should. It'd be a great idea, because it'd be an idea for, you know, effectively from an Irish selection point of view, that you're allowing a fifth Irish team there, a fifth team to select from, and that from London Irish's point of view, then, well, they would be involved now in the player pool here, that, you know, Leinster's is so extensive, and we've seen that over the years, that they now have a chance to get these players, and it's not just pie in the sky where players are playing the agent's card or the overseas card to get better contracts here, but actually they now know that if a player would talk to them, that he can still play for Ireland, and that it'd probably be more genuine. I know that some of the French clubs are not really keen in talking to many Irish players anymore, particularly the internationals, because they feel they'll be played for a fool, really, at times, and they've helped improve guys' contracts here. But I think the idea of London Irish being a fifth Irish team to select from would be a brilliant idea.
I agree. 100%. Owen?
Yeah, like, I mean...
Were you asleep there, Owen? Wake up.
Not really. I was just waiting for you to ask another question. It's the reality of it, though, in COVID, is like... Surely it was fanciful before now, and because of coronavirus, it's even more kind of ludicrous to think that it might actually happen soon.
Is it not better to, like, at a time of crisis, expand the amount of different places that you can do business? That it seems that it might become a necessity to be doing business like this, and to have some semblance of control over the players if they are going to be playing away, not necessarily control, but influence at least over the number of games they're playing, access to their data in terms of what they're doing in training. The same relationship you have with the provinces here, although, like, I don't know if they're talking about buying it or an ownership stake or some kind of something like that. Alan, I don't know what the...
No, I don't think there's going to be any financial kind of crossover here. I think it's just literally doing an agreement with London Irish that we're going to pick Irish players if you sign them. And it's that simple. And it just gives more of an opportunity for the players as well to go and play in the Premiership. And you think, would it benefit having that, you know, guys in different environment like that playing in probably a more intense championship league week after week after week, where it is so important to win every game, and, you know, relegation is a big issue. And so I think that would be, you know, beneficial to the players and to Andy Farrell if a couple of Irish guys go there. And obviously the money has got to be right. You know, you players are not going to sign for London Irish if the money isn't on a par with some of the other Premiership clubs. And, you know, I was thinking about this. Does it attract your top Irish players? Well, I'd say London Irish probably in a situation where they could sign a couple of marquee players for sure. But then, you know, like any team, the level below that is potential internationals. So, you know, if you have extended squads or guys who feel that they're not getting enough of a crack of it here and that they want to play for Ireland, it's a great pathway for them to go somewhere different. You know, I just think someone like Geordie Murphy, who has played so well for Ireland for a number of years, then because of all the competition, Leinster goes to Ulster. I just think, even though it's a different environment, a different team, he's still playing in the same league, and, you know, it's still a lot of the same, if you like. It's a different team, of course, but, you know, for me, if I was in that situation, I thought I could go play for Ireland, I'd be really attracted about going across the water and playing a different competition. Because, as I said, the number one for me would be to be selected for Ireland.
Well, so if you're Max Deegan, for example, he'd be the next one up.
Well, he can now go, well, you know, if I want to play for Ireland, I can now sign for Munster, Connacht, Ulster or London Irish. I now have four teams to choose from. I can also go to France if the money is ludicrous and crazy, but I'm not going to play for Ireland. he's still young. Like Max Steven is probably a good example of someone who can go to France and say, right, I'm going for 2 years here. I'm young enough. I'm going to forfeit a certain amount of caps. I'm going to hope that I can come back. But there's always a risk when you go. You know, Mick O'Driscoll left Munster for Perpignan and, you know, went for 2 years, came back and got back involved with Ireland a bit again and was very influential for Munster. So some guys can go and come back. But I think if you're at that 27, 28 mark and you're an international and you decide, well, I'm going to take 2 years out and go to France, it's risky.
Yeah.
It's very, very risky. But look, it may change.
Are you? Do you think this is likely to happen? More likely than less likely to happen? Or how far along is this?
I think it's likely to happen. I think it'd be a great idea, as I said. So I do think it's likely to happen. It makes perfect sense.
Is it coming from the IRFU? Is it coming from London Irish?
It's coming from both, because London Irish then get a great opportunity to have more of a player pool to recruit from as well. So it'd be beneficial to both. But look, I don't know where it's at now. I heard it was fairly, you know, it was very a real possibility a couple of months ago. So hopefully it does. Because it does, you know, there's a couple of Irish guys. There's plenty of Irish exiles in the UK in the next couple of years who will end up probably playing for London Irish or being involved in the London Irish setup, Irish qualified guys. So I think it'd be great for both, yeah.
Is there a danger, Alan, that, I mean, we're sometimes not giving credit to what players get when they go abroad, going to a different system, going into a different league, that perhaps setting up this camp in a different country might actually just be a replica of the Irish system, just in a different country, and the benefits of playing abroad won't be fully exploited by playing for London Irish? Like, just being devil's advocate on the whole idea there for a moment. Like, I can definitely see Simon Zeebo and Dunnock Ryan, like, broadening their horizons. Does it just get narrowed a little bit by the advent of an Irish-owned team in the Premiership?
I'm not sure. I still think there's lots of, you know, there's lots of overs. They've signed very well this year, London Irish. They are struggling a little bit. It'll take time for them, but they've some top-quality internationals there. I think it benefits the other way because, you know, there was always this intrigue with the French clubs and particularly their international players playing for their clubs over the years as to why were Munster so hard to beat in my era and why are Leinster so hard to beat. And they sometimes look and they don't see these superstar monster players and incredible teams. And, you know, they look at their own clubs and the budgets they have and they think, why can't we beat them? And so I think they learn a lot, particularly in France. Look at Rog when he went to Racing, I think, and Dan Carter. I think it was probably widely publicised about, you know, the cultural shift there, about attitude to diet, the nutrition, the fitness training, probably a bit more structure in the way you play. Irish rugby is very structured, I suppose, and we do get, you know, we come up short at times when, particularly at the World Cups, and it does have a negative effect. But I just think the relentless nature and the fitness levels of the provinces, by and large, we wear the life out of opposition teams, French teams. And I think their natural flair, maybe we can learn a little bit from the expansive approach of some of these teams in France and in England, and natural ability and just off the cuff stuff that we probably need to bring in, particularly to the Irish team at the moment, where you want to try and encourage guys to have a cut. You know, rugby has become very, very negative and boring in the last number of years, and we see so many games where the opposition just, it's all about cancelling them out, taking away their talent, closing their space down. So we need more of an evolution around attack. You look at Racing and Saracens on Saturday, it was a shocking game. It was non-stop tackle, knock on, turnover, kick the ball, stop the opposition. And that's great if you're, you know, sometimes, you know, players like that, you know, that it's all confrontation and you get big buzz out of turning the opposition over. But just as a spectacle, I thought we'd see a lot more tries. We saw an incredible bit of brilliance near the end of the game from Finn Russell and Vakatawa for Imhoff's try. So to answer your question, I know it's a long answer, Owen, but I think we can learn a lot by some of our players being in different environments from what they do. Particularly around the evolution of attacking and that approach to just being more expansive and a bit freer in the way we play.
Yeah, 100%. Really fascinating stuff this morning, Alan. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks, lads. OTB.
AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.